All right, turn to Galatians. We are going to wrap up Galatians today. Lord willing, unless there is a pre-rapture and he comes home right now, unless Jesus comes back right now. I do know that. I do. Which we did have Thanksgiving, and we did have Advent season, and we did have New Year's, and a couple other interruptions. But we are wrapping it up, Lord willing, today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for your goodness in our lives and your grace. And thank you as we studied this morning from the Psalm 119, that you open our eyes and help us to see your words, your statutes, your testimonies. Lord, we can't even see until you take the scales from our eyes. Thank you for that, Lord. We are so grateful to you. We are so thankful for your grace in our lives that we don't deserve. Help us to love you most, Lord. Help us to trust you most. Help us to put all of our faith in you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this book. Thank you for what you've taught us in this book. And help us as we go on to learn and grow. Grant repentance today in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This is basically, it's quite simple. It's Paul's closing words to this church in Galatia. And, there's so much that can be said about this letter, this book. In all faiths, in all world religions, there is a sense of a work basis salvation or a work basis to earn your right before God. And the Christian faith is the only faith or the only religion that teaches that it is by God's grace that we have faith. We're the only world religion that teaches this. All other religions, even the sects and the cults that come out of Christianity, teach you have to earn your way to God. And Christianity throughout the centuries has stood and said no. It is solely by God's grace that we are saved. And it is only by God's grace that we even have faith. And it is only by His goodness. And this is truly the rock bed of who we are as believers. That if it was based upon you and I, we would fail, and we know this. And so the Christian faith is the only religion, and I should say the Orthodox Christian faith, because now in our world today, we have churches that are calling themselves Christian, but they're really not. But the Orthodox traditional Christian faith is the only one that teaches it is by God's grace. And that's why we gather together. That's why we sing hymns of praise together. That's why we bow our heads and pray, because we can do that. We can do this. And so Paul comes to the end of this letter, And he says, basically, I've got just some closing words. I had a lot that I was going to say, and the truth of the matter is, it's so simple that I scratched it. I scribbled some words or some things that I want to point out, that I want to show you that in the intimacy, the heart that the Apostle Paul had for brothers and sisters. Now, there was no way when the Holy Spirit was moving Paul to write this letter to the Galatians that Paul ever dreamt that there would be a church in Northwest Florida 2,000 years later that would go through and read his letter. But here we are. And so in a way, as we read these closing words, I want to share with you that the Holy Spirit and God knew it. And here you are. And so in a way, this is for you. This is shared for you. So I'm going to read it as a whole, and then we're going to unpack it together. Okay? Let's start with verse 11. It says, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand, as many as desired to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in their flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Christ, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon you and upon the Israel of God. For now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." It's so great. My last year in seminary, actually it was my last semester of seminary. We were in Greek class, and my Greek professor, Dr. Vaughn, wept over verse 14. He taught us. We closed out the year in the book of Galatians, going through it as we were interpreting this book. And I remember him breaking down in class, and as he was on the board breaking up the verse in Greek, word by word, and just so overwhelmed that he couldn't hold it in. And the intimacy that was happening in that classroom was only a gift from the Lord. And so, as we close out this book, this letter, there's a tenderness here. There's a grace here that I hope that I can share with you, and that you love this letter even more than maybe you have before. So if you want a title for this part, here it is. The Apostle Paul's last plea. It's his last plea. And so in verse 11, he says here, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." This is interesting because in a way, we don't know because we don't have the original scroll that Paul was writing on. So we're not sure if Paul dictated this letter. More than likely, Paul did, and I'll share with you why I think this. But we don't know that he dictated it to someone and then went back and made sure it was right. And then he got to this point and he said, I want to write the rest of it, the closing of this. And that he took the pen and he added his own signature basically to the end. He took the pen from the scribe and did it himself. And in this case, he was in a way saying, I want to close this out. I want to say some things myself. And so there's three reasons why this is important. One is because for him to take the pen upon himself is putting emphasis on this, is saying, okay, wait a minute. Paul's doing this himself. There's an importance here. When he says, because he normally wasn't writing, and when some of your translations say, look at the size, the large letters are the big letters, are the, because Paul was going blind and could not see well. And many believe at this time in his life that it was very difficult for him to write it himself. And so you see a love here of him doing something that was extremely hard for him to do. And I personally believe that he didn't handwrite it. I believe he had scribes that he would dictate to and let them write it down, because at that time parchment paper was extremely expensive. I mean, like Paul was spending probably his entire salary on buying paper just to write. And look at all the letters we have in the New Testament from Paul. And Paul was spending his own money so that you and I could sit and enjoy these letters. And so for Paul to have written all these letters himself, he would have wasted paper, number one, because they said literally he could only see and would have to get, and it was with very large letters. So we see this, him wanting, desiring to do this, wanting to close this out himself. And so some people say, well, I think he wrote the whole letter. It doesn't really matter, because at this point, at this verse, he says, see, I'm writing with my own hand. So there might have been a change in the handwriting. Who knows? I can't tell you. And I think when we are all in glory together, we probably won't care. right? Because this is delivered to us from the Lord. I think the emphasis here that God wants us to see is the Apostle Paul's genuine heart for you and I, for the people of this church in Galatia that was struggling. So in verse 11, you see a personal touch. You see the Apostle Paul putting his signature on it, his personal touch for us. Number two, in the second point, we see in verse 13, 12 and 13, it says this, "As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution of the cross." So let me explain this a little bit to you. That you remember, if I can take you back, that there's a struggle going on where this young church is trying to figure out what does it mean to truly be saved? What does having faith in Jesus mean? And there were possible people coming in and saying, well, you got to be a good Jew before you can be a good Christian. And Paul, you remember at the very beginning of the letter, he said, "Who's bewitched you? Who's led you astray? Why are you believing this stuff? You know what following Jesus, what being a follower of Christ means." And in a way, in these few verses that we're looking at today, he's basically going to sum it up for them. You might say, well, why didn't he just write five verses and be done with it? He wanted to take them through the different arguments, arguments in a good way. He wanted them to think through this. He wanted them to be sure of the work that Christ had done. And so he's sitting here, and in verse 12, he's saying, there's many of these people that are coming in. And you know, if you've been following Zoom with Josh, man, Jude was awesome. And this is still going on in our churches today in the world, is that we've got all this noise and people telling you, this is what following Jesus means, and this is what following Jesus means. And Paul kind of sums it up real quick right here. In these last five verses, he's saying, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, that they may sound good and they may look good and it may be appealing, and they would compel you to be circumcised only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now let me explain. This is real easy. Real simple. The Hebrews had a voice in the Roman government. The Romans did a lot, even though Israel was occupied by the Romans of that time, the Romans allowed the Hebrew people to govern themselves in a way, to follow their religion, to be able, they allowed that, even though they collected taxes and they were the ultimate authority, they let the Hebrews do their own thing. And so what Paul's saying here is he's going, listen, this is what they're really trying to do. They're trying to tell you, hey, don't be a freak. If you circumcise yourself, this is you showing that you're a Jew, and you are, then you'll be kind of, you can go on and worship and do however you want, because you'll show yourself as a Jew and then you'll just make everybody happy. The government will be happy and you'll be happy. What does that sound like? Sounds like today, doesn't it? Oh, just do this. Then if you do this, you know, then you won't be so weird. Just follow this. Just be more like the world. Be more like typical America today, Americans today. And then you won't really, it's making appeasement and making everybody happy. Don't be so weird by loving Jesus so much. Do y'all know y'all are weirdos? No, I'm serious. Y'all love Jesus. We made a joke last week about us being pirates. Do you remember? We are aliens. This is not our home. We have a greater home waiting for us, right? This is not our house. This is not our home. As wonderful as God has blessed you in your marriages and in your homes that you have and your kids and grandkids, and as much as that, this is not home. Scripture says we're sojourners, right? That we're just passing through. And Paul's saying here, he's saying, listen, you don't have to abide by the laws, and you don't have to just appease everybody. That's not how this goes. Glorifying the flesh. You don't have to look like everyone else. You don't have to do like everyone else. Verse 13, it says this, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law. That's hilarious. He's like, listen, these guys want you to be circumcised and follow the law. And look at them. They're not even following the law. Why do they want you to do this? Why? So that we can all be the same. So that there's no bumps in the road. Do you know what they were doing? Do you know what the Romans were doing with Christians at this time? Feeding them to the lions. Did you know that? And he was like, why are you going to do yourself? Just sign on the dotted line. I cannot help when I read this. When I was in seminary, I had no idea about this. But as God grew me and gave me grace and gave us opportunity to go to China, and me watching the Chinese believers and watching them, and you would hear over and over again, the Chinese government would say, hey, just sign this piece of paper saying that you're communists, which you know what the very first tenet of communism is? The very first rule. I mean, at the very top, that there is no God except Mao. He's right. And so for a Chinese believer just to sign that paper for Jason and Ashley being put in jail for their Christian faith, and all they would have to do is say, yeah, we're calm, and sign a piece of paper, and you know what? It'd go away. Did you know that? But they can't do it. And Paul's saying, these people over here that want you to sign the paper, look how they're not even following what they say they believe. Why would you do this? Why would you do this? And so Paul is saying to them, look at this, look at the flesh. So let's finish verse 13. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in their flesh. Do you know, this is what that means. When they get you to act normal, like everybody else, guess what it does to them? They go, okay, I'm not that bad. I mean, look, Blaine signed the paper. But my point is that it eases their conscience. Because when you live holy lives, guess what? It makes everybody else uncomfortable. Well, look, the Griffins, they're doing it. Why can't we do it? And so they boast in their flesh. Well, so-and-so's doing it. Why don't we do it? Right? That's what that means. And then verse 14. Verse 14. I think personally, this verse is why Paul wanted to write it out. I think this verse is Paul's heart. Look at it. But God forbid that I should boast in anything except that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. That's a two-way street, right? That means the world doesn't want to be like you, and you don't want to be like the world. Think about that. Paul is saying, listen, God forbid. That's what he's saying. God, please, please help me. Please, Lord, may it never be that I boast in anything except in you. Amen? And may I be crucified to this world and the world to me. There's that verse 14. There's so much there. Paul pouring himself out. He's telling these people in his last breath to them, please, please love Jesus and follow Him. And if I'm boasting, I'm not going to boast in anything but the cross. Amen? Only in Jesus. Verse 15. Which, I know this is so simple. And I'm, honestly, I have pages of notes on these few verses. And I thought about putting it together and I thought, no, I'm not. There's a purity here. There's a simplicity here that I don't want us to miss. An honesty, a father loving his children. Verse 15, he says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcised nor non-circumcised avails anything, but a new creation. Can I'm going to explain this in North Florida vernacular. Here it is. I don't care if you've been baptized or not baptized. I care, are you walking in with Jesus? You can tell me you've been baptized and you've been and your grandmother and great-grandmother and grandfather started this church and you've been a member of this church. I could care less. Are you walking with Jesus? Do you love Jesus most? And if you do, then you and I are brothers. Right? If you love Christ most, then you and I are brothers, regardless of how imperfect you are. That's why, if you remember the song that we were singing last week, and we were talking about us being pirates, that we've messed up so much, but thank God for His grace. Amen. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, honestly, it doesn't matter to me if you're circumcised or not. Are you a new creature? Are you a new creation? Do you love Jesus? Then you and I are brothers and sisters. Amen. Verse 16. Boy, this may be a record. But I say that all the time and then get hung up on something. Verse 16. And as many as walk according to the rule, this rule. What is the rule? Listen, we're low. When Paul says, as many as walk together in this rule, he's pointing to something. What rule is he talking about? What he just said. New life in Christ. If you walk in this rule, then look what he says. Peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Peace and mercy be upon you and upon the Israel of God. Meaning, we're brothers. And may God grant us mercy. May He bring peace in our lives. May He work out these things. And you know what he's saying by the Israel of God? This is the real Israel. That's what he's saying. You're the real Jew. You're the real Israel. Don't let all this other confuse you. If you believe this rule that Jesus, you have to love Jesus most, then you're the real Israel. Isn't that great? That's so simple. And listen, hear me. It's kind of complex and convoluted for us because we're Westerners. But when the Galatians read this letter from the Apostle Paul, they got it. It was crystal clear to them. They're sitting there going, wait a minute. Paul's saying, if you believe this, then you're the real Israel. That's liberating. Verse 17. For now, let no one trouble. For I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Okay. This is probably the only negative in the whole closing. And this is so interesting to me, this one verse interesting to me that Paul added it, but I think it's so important. Obviously, it's in the Word of God, and Paul took time to write it, but this is what it means. He's saying, listen to him. You're going. Believe what I'm telling you, you're going to suffer. And let me show you the marks on my body. And it, you can almost picture Paul taking off his robe to say, look at the marks that I bear. Not because I was a criminal, because I followed Jesus. Listen to me. You love Jesus most, you're going to get hurt. People that love you are going to hurt you. You pursue Christ as imperfectly as we do, right? Nobody, listen, nobody's perfect in this room, right? Correct? You're going to bear the scars of the cross. You're going to have family members mad at you. You're going to have friends reject you. You're going to have employees that you are in, people you work with, co-workers lie about you. Right? You love Jesus most. Right? And guess what? You're going to bear the scars of the cross. That's what this is saying. Verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Not with your flesh. You know, this is such a deep doctrine, but it's a doctrine we forget. If you are a believer, it's what we talked about the last two Sundays. If you're a believer in Jesus, guess what? You have the Spirit of God in you, right? You have God's Spirit. And He's saying, may grace and mercy of God be with your spirit. Amen? I want that. Lord, I need it, right? We were talking to the young people today in Bible study, Sunday morning Bible study, and I was telling them, y'all are going to go through hard times. It's going to happen. You're going to face rough times. You're going to be broken. This world, and I was telling them, I was like, do y'all know that Scripture says that the trees are groaning for Jesus to come back? The trees. And I said, it's because of sin in this world. And you guys are going to face hard times. Love Jesus. Just love Jesus. And you know what? Just like last week when we were talking about this, do you know what we'll do? You and I, let's cry together, right? And rejoice together. I'll tell you this, and I hope I'm not sharing too much, but we in Sunday school when we started having our brownies and frownies, our ups and downs, I'm sure, Grant, that was more Kate than you, right? Yeah, sure. Was it Grant? Oh, Grant. Oh, okay. Okay. So one of my brownies for this week was Carl got called back by Ruan. And I was like, yes! Praise the Lord! I was happy because I saw brother, God bless a brother and his family. How can you not rejoice in that? We'll cry together. We'll laugh together. We'll rejoice together. And guess what? We're going to walk together like a family's supposed to, right? With all of our difficulties and struggles, we're going to do this together. Even with Gene. Amen. So, that's the last word. Amen. So there you go. We are done with the book of Galatians. You can check it off your list, right? One more down. We only have a few more. I love you guys. This Christian life is not a game. It's not just about funsies. It's about us walking together and living together and loving together, right? All right. Let's pray. And then we've got to sing the doxology. Or we'll all be in big trouble, especially Pastor Brandon. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this letter. And the close of this another chapter that you have given us, Lord. And I pray that we have grown in our faith and you have challenged us in our faith. And Lord, what a gift that you have given New Hope in this book, this letter to the Galatian church. What a wonderful treat. Lord, help us to constantly learn to go back and summarize and reread and remember. Lord, bring to our mind and to our heart when we're praying and when we're meditating and musing and over your truths. Bring this book to us, Lord, your words. Encourage our hearts. As David said this morning in the psalm, you enlarge our heart. You make us strong. Thank you for the Spirit, your gift to us, and the Word, your gift to us, and for a body of believers, which is a gift to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together and then be dismissed. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.